Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes of spiritual food. On the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. John 17, 38 to 39, that scripture just stands out. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. As we know, Jesus, he did not do any miracles until after he was baptized in the Jordan. And he was, the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, church, are inseparable. In fact, when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit's future ministry to the church in John 7, 38 and 39, he was describing the Holy Spirit flow, his rio, which pictures a rushing stream so full that it actually overflows its banks. That is how the Holy Spirit would pour out of us. Now, joy challenges us to step in to the higher things of God. I think a lot of the church does not understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who's inside of us. We think of him as someone that comes down once in a while, or he comes in, and I used to do that too, who comes in when there's a good service. Right? But he's in us. He dwells in us all the time. He came when we were born again. And he is the one who is bringing us into more and more truth. So I feel in this hour, he is the one our focus has to be on, because he's doing new things and he is intensifying in our midst in a powerful way. I'm reading it's an autobiography of Catherine Kuhlman. And I'm at the part where she realizes she has gone to watch a faith healer. And she is absolutely disgusted by what she saw, because it was propaganda. And she says, God, there has to be a way, because Jesus, you never did it that way. And as she is looking at all of this, she gets report from somebody that the last service she did, someone got healed. And the woman wanted her to know she got totally healed and had a doctor's report that she was. And so she began to say, Lord, what is this? The next meeting she had, she invited the Holy Spirit to move in her midst. And healings began to pop up. And she said, the healings are by the Holy Spirit. He's the power. Big key for her, because it opened up that incredible healing ministry that she had. Jesus needed an ongoing partnership with the Holy Spirit. Catherine Kuhlman sure quickly recognized, that's the only way I can function. And she would cry out, don't grieve my friend. He's the only friend I have. So the Holy Spirit, church, is something we need to really be focused on. He isn't just an it. He is crucial to us. He is the third person of the Trinity. It's the Spirit of Jesus who's come to indwell us. I'm just jumping through a little bit of it here. Jesus was letting them know with an assurance that they would not be left alone after he left. So what kind of fellowship do you have with the Holy Spirit? Is he a neglected resident in your life? Or do you experience regular, intimate fellowship with him? So does you just talk to him once in a blue moon? Or are you very aware of him on a daily basis? Is your cry on a daily basis, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need you. Order my footsteps. Jesus went on to assure them that he would send another just like himself. See, the Holy Spirit and Jesus had mentored the disciples. And part of their fear was that they would be left orphaned. but also that they would lose their teacher. So when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, when he says that he'll be their helper, their comforter, they were hearing something totally different than we were hearing. You're going to come alongside of us. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to teach us the same way Jesus taught us. They were hearing, so the rabbi's not leaving. Or he's coming in another form. We're not going to be left alone. The word para means alongside of, and it carries the idea of near proximity or being very close to something or someone. When two people are married, after a while, they start to look like each other. They function very closely, and they can even finish each other's sentences. The Holy Spirit is to be that way in us. The Holy Spirit resides in us at the new birth. He also comes alongside of us in our daily affairs and brings the reality of Jesus into our lives. And he's available all the time. All the time. It's our thinking that has to change and our focus has to switch. When we get into trouble, what do we default to? Right? And what do I default to when I have a hard, hard day? Do I default to praise and thanksgiving, and do I ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me, or do I go in a different direction? Kaleo, the paraclete, para, come alongside, and kaleo, the Greek term means to beckon or call. Paul uses this word in Romans 1:1 when he said he was called to be an apostle. This word carries a sense of strategic purpose and specific intent and concrete direction. So Paul, after he got knocked off his horse, he was blind and he went to Ananias's. He went to a house, and Ananias came and prayed for him. It doesn't say he went back to doing what he did before. From that moment on, he knew he had received the call. Everything in him shifted. He found the disciples in Damascus. He was actually in that region for 3 years while they mentored him. He never went back. He stepped into the call, and he moved forward. He got vision. The Holy Spirit began to minister to him, and he began to preach Jesus right away. So there's a summoning forth that happened, but church, we were all summoned forth when we got saved. All of us. We all got called to evangelize. We all got called to talk about Jesus, to do signs and wonders and miracles. We have been called to do the work of the ministry. So daily we can draw on him. In John 14:17, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would dwell with us and be in us. So in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" I want to make this statement. Our hearts are not to be a hotel. Do you hear that? Our hearts are not to be a hotel. For those of you watching online, maybe now or later on, the next few minutes are going to be intense, but I hope you hear my heart in this, because I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, scripture I don't go to very often. The Holy Spirit is a divine lover. He's our divine lover. When believers allow the things of the world to usurp the place that should belong only to the Holy Spirit, like a violated spouse, he feels hurt and grieved. Sin profoundly affects the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we have to change any permissive attitude towards sin that may still be present in our lives. James 4:4-6. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want to read it to you out of the Passion. That's a hard scripture. And I have a hunch it's not a scripture that's preached often. Right? Let's be real here. Because it's one that makes you go, oh. Because it's about the Holy Spirit. You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair. Values places you at odds with God. Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who desires to have us fully? But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us, for it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. Now, when you look at when the scripture is written, he's sending this to believers, brothers and sisters, who understood that under the law you were stoned if you're found to be committing adultery. So when they get this message from James, they're going, it was a harsh message for them. The word adultery carries the meaning unfaithfulness, impurity, and violating a commitment to marriage. It paints the picture of a wounded spouse who feels rejected and betrayed and deceived because their relationship has carelessly thrown away by the act of adultery. Okay? All of us have heard the pain of spouses, of people whose spouses have walked out on them. There's intense pain. Yet this is the language that is used by James here. After all Jesus had done for them, how could they be unfaithful to him? They were the bride of Christ. James was addressing the believer's friendship with the world. Friendship is philia, which means affection, attachments, devotion, endearment, or familiarity. It carries the meaning of endearing affection. James was addressing the fact that these believers had never severed the ties to the world. In some manner, they were still being attracted to the world. The influence of the world was encroaching on their relationship with God. The best way for you and I to see it is to look at, I guess I'd want to ask, is there something you tolerate today in your life that 10 years ago you wouldn't have considered tolerating at all? You would never have let it in your life. But now it's there and it's okay. And that's for all of us, right? And because we have Facebook, we have so much media, there's so much that's coming in, and the culture of the world, we're being bombarded by it constantly. And we can't help but be. It's all around us. It's in stores. It's in relationships. But that's why we've been given the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is before the Lord. His grace pours in us. Because as we look at Jesus, we see that's not in his life. If Jesus had compromised with the world that was around him, he would not have been able to minister the way he did. He ministered to the people. He loved on the people. The glory that was on him poured onto them, bringing them into a place where they could step away from what they were involved in. Zacchaeus is our prime example. Jesus never preached at him. Jesus just said, Zacchaeus, I need to come to your house. He sat at dinner with all the different tax collectors and everybody that was there and had dinner with them. And after a little while, Zacchaeus had come under conviction and he says, I got to restore 7 times what I've taken. I've been a dishonest man. I'm a sinner. He recognized it. We're to be filled with the presence of the Lord and set aside for the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit. So the presence of the Lord around non-believers, as we love on them, begins to bring them into a place where they want Jesus. But if we're just like them, then how's that going to work? Right? So the Holy Spirit is the one that wants to flow out of us like a mighty, mighty river wherever we go. He's a passionate lover. And he loves us passionately, and he desires our full attention. The Spirit who has come to settle down, make us home, and permanently dwell in us is moving by an all-encompassing and all-consuming, ever-growing, passionate desire to possess us. And he is envious and filled with malice towards anything or anyone who tries to take his place in our lives. Isn't that amazing? So we continue to hear revival is coming. And I believe God is saying, I want to do it through you. You know, there's no condemnation in this. It's just a realization what's filling the space in here. Where's my attention? You know, is this passionate lover inside of me yearning for more of me? I believe he is for each one of us, and I don't believe we've even begun to see what he's going to do through us in the world. Amen? So I want to encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit today, Lord, what's in my life that 10 years ago I wouldn't even have contemplated having in my life? What beliefs have I taken on that are worldly in my thinking, don't line up with the scriptures? Lord, show me. And then I thank you, Lord, for the grace that is there for me to say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I want to be passionate in love with you as you are with me. Amen? So, Father, I pray that both teachings, Lord, will have blessed people. Thank you for what you're doing in Titian Ministries. Thank you for what you're doing through Donna. Father, I pray refreshing on her while she's on furlough in the U.S. And, Father, that she'll go back refreshed. Thank you that in that time span, Father, we'll get more vision for this ministry. There's so much we want to do, Lord. Really want to build a facility for the elderly where they could come and have foot care and health and checkups and all the rest of it, Lord. So much that we need to do. But most of all, Holy Spirit, you're the one that leads all of that. You love them so much, and you love us so much. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would become passionately in love with you. That, Lord, we would be so aware of your presence all the time, and that you want to pour out of us into whoever we meet in our day. That the glory that is on us and in us would fall on the person that's standing beside us. And Lord, that in all of this, you would be glorified. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.